All right, cool. I think we're finally ready. You guys ready? Is Channel 9 ready? I don't even know if we're being live streamed, maybe. Yeah, there's a thumbs up, so that's cool. How's everyone doing? Awesome. We know that we stand between you and a very late lunch, apparently. No one's eaten lunch yet, right? I haven't eaten anything all day, just lots of coffee. I'm super excited. How many of you are building mobile apps in any language doing anything? Awesome.
Good chunk.
How many of you are doing like backends, like ASP.NET backends and stuff like that? Awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to keep raising my hand. How about Xamarin developers in the house? A few of you, cool. Hopefully everyone else is coming later to my sessions to learn all about how to do this in C#. What about Cordova?
Apache Cordova?
A few Cordova people.
Oh, awesome. Don't,
it's okay. I won't be mad at you. See, we have Xamarin and the Cordova tooling up here at the same time. It's not often this happens. It's a sneak peek exclusive for Dev Intersection. We do get along. I just usually am not as nice sometimes. So we're going to be talking today about how to actually automate every single thing that we can possibly do in the world of mobile, but also for our backend, for our unit tests, for our UI tests, and talk about more than just DevOps. We didn't want to put DevOps in the title because that's a little bit scary of a word. I hate the word DevOps, just to be honest. As people are like, DevOps, DevOps, DevOps. Like, what does that even mean? It's whatever you want it to mean. So we're talking today about automating all the things that you can possibly imagine when it comes to mobile. And it's actually quite a bit, and we want to focus on a few sections. Well, I'll introduce myself first. I'm James Montemagno. You may have saw me on stage earlier today. I'm a principal program manager on the Xamarin team here at Microsoft, previously at Xamarin for 3 years. So I came part of the acquisition. They acquired James, I like to say. And then my good friend over here, Jordan, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Jordan Matheson. I am a PM of Tacos. That would be our tools for Apache Cordova. So those are tools for JavaScript developers to go mobile if you weren't familiar with them. And I've been at Microsoft 4.5 years or so, and in the software biz for like 18 years. ASP.NET was kind of my home territory before this.
And you can find us anytime. Those are our Twitter accounts and also our direct email line. I like to put those up there because we're open books. If there's something you need help with, something you couldn't get working, whether it's mobile development, whether it's automation, anything, just email us directly. That goes directly into our inboxes. And we do our best to get back as fast as humanly possible. And your feedback's awesome. That's what we're here for, is to make things better. But today we are talking about DevOps.
DevOps!
I didn't know what DevOps meant when I gave my first DevOpsception. And then someone came up to me and they said, what does DevOps actually mean? And I go, let me Wikipedia it real quick. And what it actually means is developer operations. And it kind of makes sense. DevOps, developer operations. And to me, developer operations, even that is kind of confusing. And when I think of DevOps, I keep seeing like circles like this and charts and graphs and planning and coding and building and releasing and like OSs and circles and arrows and like this arrow, like this has arrows going multiple directions and like there's arrows in, like what is going on?
It's just missing one slide with boxes
and boxes
arrows,
and things.
We don't have any of those right now.
And to me, it gets really kind of confusing. That's what to me is in general. But I think that when I asked Jordan what DevOps was to him, he had like a better definition in general.
Yeah, so we were talking a bit about how it is bringing together the processes of people. We found this quote from Donovan Brown about it being the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. So bringing together the people, the processes, everything involved in going from designing, coding the app through to getting the app in users' hands.
So yeah, it's kind of like according to Donovan, and he's a senior DevOps PM here at Microsoft, it's really saying like, listen, we got to get everyone on board. We want to like automate some stuff. He doesn't really even say automate in here. It's about continuous delivery of value. I like how he used the words values. We're not delivering lines of code or a product. I mean, we're delivering a product at the end of the day, but to me, it's always been about pulling things together. And why do you like this from Donovan?
I like on this one the element that it also brings in that stuff that goes beyond the software part to the people in the process. And so I think adding that in there as a reminder that DevOps is not just the tool chain, but also the people and the processes that feed into it. So it's a way of changing your culture in the company as well, versus I built my app and I hand it off to the IT guy and I hope he's okay with it, or the database administrator is okay with my database plan and we're all blocked with each other. We're actually in it together from start to finish.
And while I do like this, when I started mobile development 5 years ago, I was the only developer doing design, coding, integration, deployment, testing, feedback from users. there wasn't a union of people. There was a union of James, and I was the only James. And I thought this was cool, and I was doing everything by hand, dragging and dropping files and emailing stuff around. And I said that this is a great, very Microsofty, Donovan Brownie sentence, but it doesn't really resonate to me as the mobile developer, because what DevOps truly is, it's all the things that you don't want to do. So let's just automate them so we never have to do them again. Essentially, that's what, to me, DevOps is. There's things that I just don't want to ever do, so I'm going to take a day, 2 days, an hour, a week, and automate all of them. Set it up once and forget it. Every time I push some code, boom, everything is done for me automatically. No matter what I'm doing, whether it's mobile applications, whether it's I'm doing back-end development. So when I think of the mobile app lifecycle, we're going to kind of focus on mobile a little bit because we're both mobile guys up here. When I think about the mobile app lifecycle, my code lives somewhere. It's living in GitHub, it's living in VSTS and TFS, on-prem, in the cloud, it doesn't matter. What we want to essentially do is we're going to be building some code that could be done on my machine, in the cloud somewhere. At some point, we're probably going to want to test our application. When I talk about testing, maybe it's unit testing, maybe it's UI testing. Maybe it's eventually distributing it to our actual users' devices, like actually saying like, hey, I would like someone to test it besides developers. So I want to be able to build, test, and distribute. That's kind of like the developer part of me that I care about. And then I want to put it on a device.
Yeah, and then once you get it on the device, now comes that next part of you had your lab of everything for, you know, getting the app tested either locally or against the devices you're looking at. But what about when it gets out in the real world with a variety of customers? And so that's when it comes into this other piece of DevOps, looking at things like crash reporting, so you can see that when it's in the wild on a variety of form factors and hardware configurations, how's the app really performing? You can look at monitoring how users are interacting with the app and do things like A/B testing, where you serve up one experience to one set of users and a different experience to another set of users and compare the result, which one might be driving more of your in-app purchases or getting users more quickly get through their expense reports, whatever your goal may be. And that's all about learning at this phase. Is I'm learning if as my app's out in the wild so that I can then feed that back into that first part of the cycle and go back into the next round of feature development and building out the app.
Yeah, so we want to take it, and to me, to developer, I want this to all be automated. I never want to do it. To me, it's like the mobile DevOps is that I want to build, test, and deploy. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of A/B testing that you can do. There's a plethora of different, you know, providers for that, and even crash reporting for every different operating system. I don't think we want to focus on that. What really bugs me as a developer on a day-to-day process is that I got to build my code, I got to package the code, I got to sign the code, then I got to put it on a device, I got to ship it up to, you know, Test Cloud, I got to deploy it to HockeyApp, I got to do all these steps. I actually talked to I did a session at Ignite not too long ago with Coca-Cola, one of the guys from Coca-Cola. And he's like, yeah, before we figured out continuous integration and delivering all this stuff, we would build our iOS application, have it on our device. Our actual testers were in a different building. We would Slack message them and say, got a new build. They would take their iPad, run across campus, plug it into the developer machine. Like, there's no way to actually do it. So we want to do this build, test, and deploy with every commit, and that's what's so important. And it should be completely automated. And that's what we really want. So we're going to focus on two parts, continuous integration and continuous delivery. And Jordan and I, when he said, listen, of all DevOps in those crazy little circles of the life cycle, what we can actually cover in about, you know, an hour to an hour 15 are these two parts, CI and CD. So we're not really going to cover monitoring too much. We're going to talk some really cool little tidbits in there as we go along, so you have some insights of what we have to offer here at Microsoft.
Yep.
So let's talk about CI. CI is continuous. Obviously, everything in here is continuous. So by default, every time I commit code, I should be able to just, things should happen. So you'll see this kind of app lifecycle and developer lifecycle over and over again. So to me, continuous integration is that build. There's a little bit of test in there, too, that we'll talk about. But again, every commit continuously. We want to build our project, but we also want to integrate. I think that's what's really important. Some people are like, well, I'm building my application. I'm building. Like, that's great, and I'm doing it continuously, but I think there's a lot of cool other things that you can do too, such as version bumping, replacing variables, running your unit tests, your UI tests, and there's tons of other SDKs too. When you think about it, there's things like, what if every time I built, Jordan and me, we get a Slack notification that a build is kicked off, a build is successful. I get an email maybe. I don't know, that'd be cool too. Twilio, SMS, yeah, maybe I'm on the road. I mean, there's all these services. You saw Scott Guthrie this morning talk about webhooks. And when I could describe CI is, think of your build as one huge webhook. Things started, things failed, things succeeded. And then at the end of the day, when all that happens, we can sign, package, and then drop artifacts. I'm going to put that in quotes, artifacts. And for each different thing, it's going to be a little bit different. For me, it's like DLLs or APKs or IPA files. And even Cordova, you're going to get an APK or an IPA. But there could be some other files. Maybe you're creating like a JavaScript library and you want to then publish it to NPM, right? You could do that too.
I always like the term artifacts because you think like there's going to be a, you know, some treasure hidden in my build output somewhere. I'll go hunting for artifacts.
That's what you want to do? Yeah, exactly. It's like all these little things that I want to do. Now, there's a lot of different continuous integration services. Which ones have you used in the past?
Sure. Oh, well, VSTS, a good chunk. Travis CI is another one in the web developer space. And then, of course, Jenkins was probably the main ones I played with.
How many of you today are using any of these CI services? Pretty cool. What about Jenkins? Jenkins, Team City? Has anyone ever heard of BitRise? BitRise is an amazing mobile-only CI CD service. I love it. Circle CI, Buddy Build. All right, so Jenkins, Team City, popular. We're going to talk about Visual Studio Team Services. Go figure, we work at Microsoft. Visual Studio Team Services kind of does everything. How many people, again, were using VSTS? Cool. If you have any feedback, let me know. We both work directly with that team. VSTS, it's a box of everything. So there's a bunch of stuff that you're probably not going to use, like agile planning and version control. Maybe you'll use it. It's up to you. There's things like Kanban boards. There's TFS, Git support built in, which is nice. But what's really cool is VSTS is not only just a cloud solution, but it's also TFS. How many of you are using like on-prem TFS? You're basically using VSTS. It's the same exact thing. One's cloud, one's on-prem. And of all the different things out there, what I really like about VSTS is the ability to run it locally, point locally, or point at cloud solutions, and even do your building locally or in the cloud. So the big part that I like to talk about is this huge continuous integration model that's in VSTS. And that's where we want to start. It's essentially two parts. There's a cloud-hosted solution that you can build your Android and Windows applications that can be built with anything. It could be a Cordova app, a Java app, it could be a Xamarin app. And any Windows application, including ASP.NET applications, just DLL libraries, anything Windows, just as if you could build it locally inside of Visual Studio.
Yeah, we've actually got all of Visual Studio building in there. So
yeah
anything.
Yeah. And then you also have the ability to use a remote Mac. So maybe you're doing iOS or macOS builds, which is really nice. So you can actually just point it at a Mac. Maybe that's a Mac in Cloud, which is a service, or Mac Stadium solution. We have partnerships with Mac in Cloud. Or you have a Mac Mini on-prem. And in fact, today during our demos, I'm going to be building the iOS applications on my Mac Mini that's located in Seattle, Washington. So it's just sitting there waiting for me to talk to it. So we just want to do it. We're not going to waste too much time on slides. We want to get through a lot of stuff. So we're going to go through VSTS end to end. And what I figure we'll start with is we have some Cordova developers in the room. So both Jordan and I have both worked on some separate applications. One in Cordova, an Ionic, I think, framework, right?
Yep.
And then I've worked on a Xamarin application for iOS and Android with some unit tests and a bunch of stuff. So we're going to start first with Jordan and let you just kind of do some from scratch, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll show it off. We're going to switch the screen. It takes a second to toggle. And what we want to show is that VSTS is very flexible, so no matter what you're kind of using, you can do it. There you go.
So now I'll get my device rotated back here. Okay, so I'll show you real quick the very simple application I put together. This is to help me figure out when I'm going around to the different conferences out there and wake up, you know, what kind of coffee should I be getting? I don't want to make decisions. It's too early. So I can come in here and I can say that, like, I didn't sleep last night for demo prep. And it starts, you can already see, giving me some hints. Oh, you maybe want quad shots. You know, it's going to be a long day. I want some milk. Let's make it a latte. So simple application. Very useful the less sleep I get. And if I show you here the source real quick, the core of it, what we've got is this is a Cordova application written using version 2 of a framework called Ionic. Is anybody in here familiar with Ionic? I saw some Cordova folks.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a lot of sessions here at Dev Intersection around Ionic, as well as I have a talk on Friday around building secure apps. It's going to have one of the guys from the Ionic team with me, so you might want to check that out if This piques your interest. We also have a mobile panel on Friday. Name drop in there of another one that's going to cover this kind of tech. So in this application, what I've got is in here in Ionic, I'll just show you mainly the UI portion of this, where I've decorated it up to the app to have a nav bar at the top and say, you know, there's a title of my page. And it's a simple list of a couple list boxes here, or select items that let me pick from my dropdowns. And then Ionic handles all of the rendering of the UI, adapting it to the different mobile platform I'm on, iOS or Android. And then my code for this is in TypeScript, which the real thing I'll focus on in here, because we're not doing a deep dive into Ionic, is that ultimately there's this calculate function that runs, and it sets up a member variable to say, here's the recommendation. And then back in the UI there, I'm showing our recommendation in a template. So kind of very simple logic there. There wasn't anything fancy. I could have thrown in maybe some cool cloud services to, you know, throwing a little AI and really come up with a clever coffee solution, but I figured I'd keep it simple for today.
Yeah, and what's really important to me is that a lot of these applications, while they're not crazy complex, you can do crazy complex applications, obviously, to me it's really important that you start this day one, like file new, like automate that. Like automate your file new, because the sooner you do CI in your process, the more likely you'll just continue in that process and build it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So let's see, so should I show the, we're showing the CI thing
real
quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Your app?
Yeah,
okay.
Go for it.
So let me show you real quick then on setting up a build here. So what I've got is this application is up in Visual Studio Team Services. I've got my code up in a Git repository up there.
So this code is actually hosted. This is one of the services we're using to actually put our code inside of the cloud, essentially. And you can choose a Team Foundation backend, TFS backend, Or Git, and you've done Git, right?
Yep, so you did a Git backend. A moment ago, I showed you a different sample code. So here's the code to this application sitting up in VSTS. And let's go ahead and we'll set up, the goal here really is around build, right? So we'll set up a build that I could use for, say, continuous integration. Every time I commit to Git, run the build, make sure everything works. So you can see here where I've been doing some test runs, but let's just create a new build from scratch. So the first thing you do is, when you're setting up a build in VSTS, I'm going to make an empty build here and point it at my Git repo. And then a real quick step I can do is that I'm going to be building for Android. So we're going to make this application for Android. And so I could have set up iOS as James is going to. I think you're going to do that a little bit with your machine too, right?
Yeah, I'll do it.
So I'll tackle Android. And one trick we use here is to just set up the build to demand cmd.exe. That means make sure I'm running on Windows, and a little workaround. So we'll build Android on Windows.
So essentially what we're seeing is, so we have your panel inside of VSTS. So each of these little areas inside of here, the build, options, repository, triggers, by default, since we set a new build, we pointed at the code already. And you picked blank, so essentially think of these as kind of steps along the way. Like, what do you want this build to do? And you can start from a template, or in this instance, we start from blank. So like, I'll figure it out. Thanks to VSTS, but I'll do it myself.
So now I'm going to add in each of the build steps for this thing to run. So for a web application, in this case a Cordova app, I'm actually going to use the NPM package manager. So this brings down all of my third-party dependencies. It's like NuGet. And then I'm also going to have a couple steps in here where we run some Cordova things. So this, in the VSTS marketplace, you can add some extensions. So by default, the Cordova and another one I'm going to show later with CodePush, these tasks aren't available. But you can go into the marketplace and install them for free, and then it'll add these build steps you could pick. So in my case here, I can say I'm going to use Cordova build step, and then we're going to run our build using Ionic. And finally, I am going to have this build copy out my artifacts like we mentioned. Am I just missing the right spot for the artifacts?
I think all is what I always go.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the backup is to go to all.
So all these tasks, like you can create your own tasks. It's highly extensible. Only sometimes the problem is that literally they're kind of scattered a little bit. So you got to kind of find them.
Okay, so I've added each of these steps in here. And I'm telling this first task is all set to go. It's going to run and do the NPM install, brings down all my dependencies. With Cordova, I'm going to make a call to add the Android platform to this application. So what Cordova does is it takes my HTML, JavaScript, CSS, packages them up into a native Android application in this case, and that'll get, it'll put out a .apk file, which could be, then be distributed. And so with Cordova, I say, I'm going to add this platform to build. And then using the Ionic framework, I'm going to run a build for Android. And I'm using version 2 of Ionic, so I have to come in and say that explicitly is Ionic v2.
Now, how does it know exactly what to build, though? So, I mean, is it magic that it just NPM installs and goes, or do you have to, like, set a working directory or anything like that?
Yeah, and in this case, it's just taking the current, the root of my repo, and that's the working directory. So it's just going to, in this project, I'm at the root, it's going to take that and build that as the, you know, use that as the working directory.
But additionally, like, let's say you had, like, a nested folder, because usually I don't put all my source code in root. You could be like, hey, my code is in source, mobile app, Cordova, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. You'll find an option here, a working directory, and then I could pick a subfolder to go off of. Okay. And then our final step in here is going to be a copy of these files. So copy root.
So essentially, this publish artifacts, as Jordan is typing it, this is, hey, this is anything that I want published at the end of the day that we're going to deploy later on. In this instance, it could be any of your JavaScript files. It could be your APK. You could publish the entire directory again if you want to say, like, this is a snapshot in time of the code that was there, and it's all there. Now, like, these contents here that you can do is you can point at a specific file, or you're just pointing at an output directory, right? That's what you're doing.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, what this did here, now I've typed it out. What I'm doing with Cordova is that when it builds, it's going to put my output APK in this subfolder. So I just put the path in there to say, after the builds have happened, that's where I'm going to get that APK. And then it gives it a name of bin that I can reference. Those should be our steps. Okay. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and kick off the build, but that's going to take a moment if you want to switch over to your side of
things. We can watch it. I love this. This is my favorite part. So we're going to like save it. Queue up a build, and you can queue builds manually too. So right now there's no continuous anything happening. So Jordan just gone in here, and what it did is it essentially queued up a VM somewhere in Azure, and it's going to initialize our build host, any of the extensions that it needs, it'll install possibly. And then what's really cool is I like it is that it'll just start outputting things, and we're not going to like sit here and wait for all of them to complete. But it usually takes just a few minutes, essentially, to get up and running and building stuff. So we can see here, it's initialized the agent. And what's cool is it just, like, there's all the steps that Jordan just specified. So he's got the commands that he's installed, and you get this live output. So if you really wanted to, you could go ahead and do it. I don't know, how long does this take to build? Like a minute or two?
This one might be about four minutes or so.
Okay, cool. While he's doing that, let's set up a Xamarin application really quick. Yeah. So let me toggle back. So the application I have, essentially, so we kind of saw how to go the bare bones, kind of set up a Cordova application. And as soon as this switches back over, there we go, cool. So the application I have that I've been building with Xamarin Forms is another coffee application, because I do love coffee, is an application that'll help me essentially figure out what do I need to tip based on the type of coffee that I'm actually buying. So if I'm here and I'm buying drip coffee, well, it's going to be just 50 cents. If it's over here and I want some espresso and it's been tampered, and I can go in, I can modify the values to, let's say, $6. That's very expensive coffee. But it'll actually give me the actual updates that I need in real time. This is super nifty if you go to really fancy coffee shops. You're like, I don't know what to tip. Or if you're at Starbucks, you're good. It's kind of coffee. So this is the application. And this application actually is pretty full-fledged. We not only have the Xamarin application that's inside of here in Visual Studio. So here we can see, just like kind of earlier this morning, I have my shared code, my portable class library, my Android, my iOS project, I have a UI test project, and I have a bunch of tests. So I have a bunch of unit tests that are in here too. So if I toggle out here, we can see my user interface is all built in XAML for Xamarin Forms. So I have some pickers, and I have some edit entries, and I output some labels. All my code is kind of in my view model. So I can pick a drip type, if it's tampered or not, if I'm at Starbucks, what the subtotal is, and the tip amount. So essentially I update the tip and I have different values that I'm going to update the user interface with. But what I wanted to first show is that it's really important to not only build the application, but also to build our unit tests. So I have a bunch of unit tests to test every single function and every single combination that I could think of. So if I'm at Starbucks, if I'm doing drip coffee, if I'm doing a pour over, it's just N-unit style tests. You could also do this with X-unit. So inside this project, what I have is I have my N-unit, my N-unit core, N-unit framework, and I have this N-unit Visual Studio test adapter. The test adapter will allow Visual Studio Team Services to get this set up. So let's do this really quick. So I'm going to come back over into my dashboard. So here's all my actual applications, and this awesome apps is what Jordan and I have been working out of. So this is going to give me a dashboard of everything that's going on in the build currently. So this will spin up on my hopefully fast internet. We will see. And ideally, or else we'll go back to the non-wired. Was working earlier, that's good. So we can see our team members, our open user stories, and there we go. So our build usage, kind of things are popping in as we go. So I'm gonna go into build again. So there's code, work, build, and release. And again, we're gonna spend most of our time inside of here. So for normal Android or iOS or Xamarin, what's really nice is you have these templates. So unlike Cordova, which I'm hoping that they add one in the future, you'll just be able to have one already set up. If you're doing Android, so if you're doing Java development, you can just go ahead and select the Android application. Down here, there's an Xcode build that's here. And then Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android. If you're building Mac applications, you can just do a regular Visual Studio build. And that's also how we're going to run our unit tests. So let me go ahead and run our unit tests really quick. So I'm going to say Visual Studio. And what's important here is that the code for this application doesn't live inside of TFS. I wanted to show you the flexibility. All of this code lives on my GitHub inside my coffee tipper application right here. So we needed to configure GitHub in a way to communicate with VSTS. So here inside my build definition, instead of pointing it like Jordan did to their local repository, I'm going to say, hey, go to GitHub. And additionally, what I can do is I can toggle this little continuous integration, which means that any single time someone pushes code, a webhook will automatically be registered for GitHub, and it will automatically kick off a build. So I'm going to go ahead and create that here. All right. Now, unlike Jordan's project,
show off.
We're going to actually, yeah, see, everything is already scaffolded for me a little bit here. We're going to modify it a little bit. Don't worry. But we'll see that this repository has a red marker on it, and that's bad. And it needs to be set up. So if I actually click on here, we'll see there's a connection type. We'll say, hey, I'm using GitHub. I could have used external Git or Subversion. I'm using GitHub, and then I need to set up a repository. So here, when I go manage, that will bring me into my connected services for Visual Studio Team Services. And inside of here, I just simply said, hey, let me communicate with GitHub right here, and then it'll actually just auto-validate. So there it is. It's just an OAuth service. So I already have it configured. So now I can see all of my GitHub projects that are inside of here. So I'm going to find Coffee Tipper. There it is. And I'm going to say, hey, the default branch is master. That's how it's going to know how to build it. And I'm going to hit save. I'm going to say this will be my dev inter UI tests. There we go. And just save it. And that's going to save it locally, and it's going to refresh it. Now we need to set up a few more things. So automatically, it's going to use these little regexes to find any solution that's inside of there. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger for back of the room. So there, it's just going to find any solution and do a NuGet restore. Now, I don't actually need to build a solution, so I'm going to delete that solution there. And I'm going to come in, and I'm going to build a new project. So I'm just going to say use MS build and add it there. And we're going to drag and drop that up to the top. Drag it there, and then drag it here. So we want to build our unit test project. So let's go a little bit down, I guess. There we go. So here I'm going to say tap. What's really cool is that it'll just automatically find all the code that's on my GitHub page. So there's my coffee tip app. I can go into tests. Inside of here, I'll actually select the CS proj. Because I don't need to build my iOS or Android applications. I just want to do this just for my actual unit tests. And on my build configuration, I'm going to actually grab from here. You can see that there's little $ build configuration. Those are variables. A bunch of them are already built inside of Visual Studio Team Services. But I can say that's going to be my build configuration. I can have it clean every single time if I wanted to. And I can even come down here and say what version of MS build do I want. And that's literally it. Inside of here, it'll say this is my build configuration. There's some tests that I want you to build and I want you to run every single time. And then publish the artifacts. And the publishing artifacts will be any of the actual DLLs that are built. So I'm gonna go ahead and save again. And you can even save as draft if you want to. So we'll go ahead and save it there. I'm gonna go ahead and queue a new build. And then here it'll say, do you want release? Do you want debug mode? You can actually modify these at build time, and I'm gonna say okay. Now what's gonna happen here is that we're using the hosted solution of Visual Studio Team Services. So we'll see if your build, which apparently Cordova takes forever to build.
No, in this case, it seems like it's stuck on Java, so I don't know if it's the issues you were fixing. What happened there? So I'm gonna cancel this one so you're not blocked on that end.
So we're gonna see, hopefully, inside of Visual Studio Team Services, we'll refresh this page.
Should see a queue, right?
Yeah, we'll see a queue. It was queued because originally I think you were there, but it should kick off, ideally. Let's see here. And I'll start building. Ideally, waiting for agent.
Cancel.
Cordova killing the build. Classic.
That's Java in this case.
We could also be sitting in the middle of Visual Studio Team Services updating. That's the one problem with the hosted solution is sometimes they like to update things as you're literally demoing. There we go. Okay, so now it's doing some stuff.
Oh, good.
All right, so things are actually happening. I'm not sure about this wired connection, I swear. So what then I like to do is go to speed test and see if it actually goes. No, that totally loaded. If all of those flash ads can load, then I'm pretty sure the internet's working. All right, cool. So it should go out and be rebuilding, getting in real time. Okay, so for some reason it's not connecting too good on the hosted solution. But we can actually see the build out log. It's already built that project there. It's gonna go into our test assemblies and then run the actual end unit kind of test runner there. And at the end of the day, boom, it's done. And what I really like to show is that, hey, listen, in literally 5 minutes, I set up all my end unit tests to be run every single time. And then I get this nice little charting graph and all the things that I would like. Inside the artifacts tab, we can see that there's this little explore. So the drop here is gonna actually show me my coffee tip. Inside of here, I said, hey, give me all my bins, all my DLLs, everything that it was actually built. So it's all there. Same thing inside my tests. I can download it as a zip or curl it. So now let's actually build our Android application over here. So I'm gonna go into new build. I'm gonna go into Xamarin Android, tap on that. Again, I'm gonna go tap on GitHub and say continuous integration. I'm gonna say create. Now what's really nice about this is it's actually gonna pull in tons of steps for me automatically. The very first thing that I need to do is, again, since I'm not using the built-in TFS type stuff, is I need to configure my actual GitHub repo. So that's one kind of downfall of using the GitHub bits, is that you have to come in and select this every single time. But there's my coffee tipper, use master, and I'll come over here. So by default, almost everything is set up for me, to be honest with you. Here I have a build, and it's gonna say, hey, I can find everything with Droid in the name. And see if those are the droids that we're looking for, or you can go ahead and pick the actual Android application. So here, for instance, it's gonna go off to GitHub. I'm gonna say, hey, only build my Android application, boom. It's gonna come in here, it's gonna say, hey, I would like to build some tests, if I would like. And right now, we'll disable this, because we're not gonna build any tests, because we already ran them. And then we need to sign our actual package that's here. So here's our actual build binaries. It's gonna try to sign any of the APKs that are there. But we need to get our key store. A few Android developers, you need to sign this package. So I'm gonna come in here and I could check in my key store into GitHub or into TFS, but I actually have my actual key up on the internets inside of secure storage. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go into my command line, add that build step. And before I sign it, what I would like to do is run a curl command. So I have a little notepad here. I'm just gonna say, hey, curl lives here. Boop. I'm gonna give it some arguments. Boop. And we can see that this lives up in into the key storage that I have up in blob storage in Azure. I'm just gonna download locally and say, hey, output in my build sources directory, and this is the actual key store. And I can actually copy this because I'll need it here in a second. And that's it. Now I have it locally. So I can say, hey, I wanna sign my APK. And the file is gonna be there. I need to fill in my actual key store passwords. And you never wanna put anything in plain text. That's really important information. So I'm gonna go into variables. And these things that are available to you automatically at build time, or you can add your own. So I'll say key store password. There we go. And it is gonna be, I think it's a very secure password. Pretty sure that's what it is. Yeah. And we'll mark this little checkbox, this little secret. Boom, and it's gone forever. No one can ever see it again. You can check that ahead of time, and then you couldn't even see what I'm typing.
Now, that also encrypts it in the log, so if there were a sysadmin or somebody else checking it out, that key is now secret across any place it would appear. So it's not just in your UI that they put up a mask. It actually gets encrypted and saved.
And that's super important, so when people get the logs, they're not seeing all your stuff in there. So I'm just going to go ahead and put the key stores in there, and you can see I'm using this $, password, key store, boom. And it'll figure out everything else for me. I'll zip a line, and I'm essentially done at this point. If I go over here, zoom out a little bit, it's a little upset at me. We can see that I'm restoring my NuGets, building my project, my test project, I'm curling it down there, and then I'm dropping my artifacts. And then again, I save, say that's a great name for a build definition, it's gonna save it, and then again, I can queue a build. Or additionally, we could have some additional triggers here. So here's the continuous integration part. So I checked that at the beginning, but you can toggle this on and off. So here's CI, and it'll go ahead and it'll trigger every single time I do a master build, and we'll show that in a second. Or I can go ahead and trigger it, hit OK. Now this is gonna go off and actually start building my Android application in the cloud. I don't have to handle anything else. It'll drop those artifacts. And while we're waiting for that to build, let's go ahead and set up the iOS one really fast. It only takes a second. So I'm gonna go into new and kind of finish off full CI, iOS, Android, and Cordova, and unit testing. I'm gonna go into Xamarin iOS. Again, it's GitHub. Now, what's really important is I'll set up CI, but what I want to do here is that we can see that there's default agent queues. iOS applications cannot be built on a PC. They have to be built on a Mac. This morning, for instance, I was building kind of my IL locally, but actually packaging the application has to be done on a Mac. So we can see inside of here, I have a hosted solution and an on-prem. Now, I want to use my on-prem, but I want to show you what's happening over there. When I go to manage queues, that's going to open up this right here for me. And this allows you to say new queue, and I can create a new queue pool if I would like to. And I essentially download the agent. And you can download it on Windows, OS X, Linux. And here I just downloaded the actual agent. And my actual Mac that's sitting over there, this is what it looks like. I'm using Chrome Remote Desktop. It's actually a remote desktop from my PC into my Mac that's sitting over there. And we can see that this is the VSTS agent. It's just sitting there. And I'm waiting for builds. So now what I can do is I can have that set up and say create. So I'm gonna use my on-prem, which is nice. You can do that for Mac, you can do it for PC. Your code never has to touch the cloud if you don't want it to. Inside of here, we're gonna do the same stuff. We're gonna go into our repository. I'm gonna come in here and I'm gonna say, let me do the coffee tipper application, master, go back into build. I'm gonna point it at a solution. The Mac builds kind of automatically figure things out. So I'm gonna say, hey, here's the coffee tip application, and I wanna build and create a package. Now certifications, just like Android, is I could download, I could curl those P12 certs and my provisioning profiles. But since it's my machine on-prem, I just installed the actual certificates there. Yeah. So what I'm gonna do here is I'm just gonna copy some directories and say, hey, my P12 cert lives there, my actual provisioning profile lives here, and I'm gonna put in my password. Again, you probably don't want that to be in clear text, so let's go ahead and put it in a variable. So I'll say P12 pass, there we go. And I'll go ahead and secure that. Go back into build here, go back into my password, there we go. And then we have a way of actually copying our source and all of our IPAs that we may need. From our source directory, it'll just go ahead and recursively find everything, and then I'll publish the artifacts. And if I wanted to specifically, I could come in and say, hey, I really know exactly where something lives, and you can specify a file. But I'm just gonna say, hey, listen, go find anything with an IPA file, and go ahead and save that. Boom. Now, what's nice here is that when I click queue build at this point, it's gonna go off, and it's gonna go ahead and communicate not only inside of Visual Studio Team Services, but here, back in on-prem, if everything is working still correctly, boom, it's running a job currently. It immediately, from Visual Studio Team Services, talked to my actual on-prem, and it's running this job. If I jump back over here, it's gonna actually start building it all up. All right, let's see if the Android one finished. I'll refresh the Android one. Cool, it's perfect timing. So here it signed the application.
I was gonna say one thing I'll note on the signing steps in here. So you didn't see me do those in my walkthrough, but you'd actually would do the same thing for a true release build for Cordova. So these same steps are there for iOS or Android, regardless of which tool set you used. I just did a quick build that was a unsigned dev only build that you could say like sideload onto a device, but that was one thing I thought I'd point out there. You see those other steps, you would need those for any of the mobile platforms.
Exactly. That's kind of nice. So once you start building a few of them, you kind of get there. Now, what's really nice here is that we automatically now, again, have our artifacts. This time here, I can explore. And just like we would see with the Cordova build, here's my actual Android APK. I can click download, download here. It'll immediately download from Azure and VSTS right onto my desktop or wherever I need to go. So as I'm kind of building my application through and through here. Same thing over here on iOS. So here now, our actual application is running on my actual Mac, and it's actually building our application. Boom, it's already done, which is super nice. So the faster the machine that you have, the faster it's gonna go. It's gonna copy the files locally, and for some reason, my browser doesn't wanna refresh, but it's gonna publish all my artifacts. And this part here is actually talking from my on-prem machine to my actual VSTS storage. So that's one little thing to be cognizant about, is that wherever you wanna drop your actual artifacts, it needs to go there. What time are we actually done? We're done at one. Oh, we got to move
along.
Sure,
we're good, yeah.
We got to move along. I thought it was 1:15. Okay, we got 15 minutes. We can
do
this.
Come between developers and their lunch. Whew. Not a good idea.
So again, we can explore. We can go drops, iOS, bin, iPhone, release. It's in there somewhere. There's our IPA file, right? Boom. Literally 15 minutes. Cordova application, unit test, iOS, Android, boom. They're all done building in the cloud or on-prem. Let's walk really quick about the other integrations that we can talk about, right? Whether you're building a Cordova application or a Xamarin application, a Java application, you wanna make sure that your apps run great everywhere. So there's a huge, obviously, fragmentation in the marketplace. All these OSs, all these different distinct devices, Android has 24,000 different devices out there. You know, the Android fragmentation is crazy. And when you think about mixing and matching Android fragmentation with browser fragmentation for doing actual Cordova applications, it's kind of messy. A lot of people now even kind of bundle Chromium into their application. So here, for instance, you know, it's not just Android. iOS has fragmentation too. So here we have iPhones, you know, iPod touches, iPads, multi-screen features for iOS 9 and iOS 10, pencils, anything, right? It's crazy. So we introduced, and we have a way to completely automate your user interface for any application written in any language. And it's free to actually run on a simulator or device. It's called Xamarin UI Test, which is a C# interface to do automation for any application. And if you don't want to do C# and use UI Test, it's built on top of Calabash, and there you can build these scripts in Ruby or in C#. So if you're doing something and you're more familiar with a Ruby, if you're a web developer, for instance, you can just build them in Calabash and run these scripts. And you can run them directly from Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio. And what I love about it is you can tap, pinch, swipe, and do all these really cool things like I showed this morning for the My Driving app. And it's integrated right into Visual Studio Team Services. So I wanted to show you really quick what that would look like for any application, whether it be iOS, Android, or Cordova. So I'm going to go into my build definitions here. And we set up a few of them ahead of time just because we wanted to make sure that we had enough time. And I'm going to open up my iOS and my Android releases. So essentially, every single time when I'm building my application, it's going to kick off a build, and I want it to actually do a few more things. So this actual build script looks exactly the same as what I just did. So I have my Android application. The difference here is that I'm going to say, hey, build my UI test project. So inside of this actual application, down here, I have a UI test project. And my test here looks like this, where essentially I can say, start up my application, clear the text, take a screenshot. Like, this is the actual user, the actual UI test code to interact with my app. And then I get a report back. Think of it like an end unit test, but for the user interface. So I can make sure that my business logic is working, but also my actual UI. And then I have a test cloud step. And the only thing that I'm doing inside of here is I'm specifying what APK I want to test, or IPA file, and I give it a key, an email, and a set of devices that I would like to actually run them on. So we ran these actual applications earlier. So I'm going to head over to Xamarin Test Cloud. So testcloud.xamarin.com. And here's all my different applications that are inside of here. There's the My Driving. And here I have my coffee tip application for iOS and Android. And again, this is a Xamarin app, but it could be any application that you're building. Here's all the tests. Here's the test that I just ran, as you can see here. I can tap on that one for Android. I think I just have like one test or two tests here. And it goes in, and every single time I'm running it on two devices. And what's nice here is that I have multiple build definitions. Usually I have a nightly build, I have a dev build, and then I have a release build. So usually with every single code commit, I want to test it on a single device. When I have two, maybe I want to go to master, I run it on 10 devices that are there. So I can go in here, I can tap on one of these, I'm getting this feedback, I'm getting a device log along the way. The same thing's true for iOS. Here's the same exact test that we're actually just run today at 11 o'clock. So here, for instance, boom, it's good to go. Here's all the tests running on iPad and an iPhone 5S. What I really like about this is, what if I add a new test? What if I come in here and I say, hey, I would really like to make a really cool test, and we're going to call it dev intersection test. And we're just going to say app.screenshot, and it'll say app launched. Cool. Now what I can do is, I want to show you the continuous integration part. So here I'm inside of GitHub. This could be inside of Visual Studio. It doesn't matter, wherever you're going to commit your code. Here's my changes. I can say added new test. Boom. I'm going to commit code. I'm going to sync it up. And now remember, on those three different projects that we created there, the new iOS, new Android, and the dev intersection UI tests, those are all set up for CI. So as soon as it synchronizes up with GitHub, ideally, if I set it up correctly, it succeeded. Maybe that's the last launch. We'll launch these here. There we go. So we can see right here that one's in progress already. And we can see the difference is that this one was queued up by continuous integration, the project collection account service. It was sitting there listening at GitHub. Or if we change code internally at TFS, it would sit there and monitor it automatically. And this one was kicked off manually by me. And we can see that it kicked off not only for that, it's queued up here for Android, and it's already running our actual tests, boom, 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 along the way. So we automated it, continuous integration, and we're sending it up to the test cloud. So our CI part's done, but now we actually kind of want to put it on a device. I think, Jordan, I'm going to let you kind of handle and talk about this.
Yeah, so now that, like we said, you know, we're moving past the build, now we want to see about how can we get feedback early from testers for each of those builds that we put out. I'll take the clicker from you there.
Yeah.
So, for example, we might want to do this through, you know, getting user feedback through a continuous beta program, so that we don't have to, for example, do like James was talking about earlier, of go to the desk of the person in the sales team and watch them use the application. We want to actually be able to put it out automatically whenever we're ready for a build. We could go crazy and do every CI build goes out to our test team, for example, or have a controlled, you know, this is a beta distribution, push it out. And also we want to look at monitoring crash reports to see about, you know, their issues with the application in the wild. Oops.
There you go. It's back. All right, cool.
Okay, so again, we're taking like, we got our development build that we were setting up there, and now we want to send them on to testers, and we could either release them through the App Store or promote them through different channels of alpha, beta, production.
Yeah, to me, it's like, what do I want as a developer? To me, it's like with every single commit, I want a build that I can test. But that doesn't mean necessarily it should go to all my testers or should go to the App Store at that point. I just kind of want it to be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is where Hockey App comes in. So this Hockey App is a tool that lets you handle that continuous deployment of your application out to like a beta test set of users. It also has capabilities to do crash and some analytics, some monitoring of the application so we can, again, feed back into the dev lifecycle. And so Hockey App, again, like we said, it's for distribution, being able to take your apps out to iOS, Android, Windows devices. They have a web UI where you could upload that APK you want to distribute, or there's integrations like we can talk about here with CI where you add it into your build and then it goes through Hockey App and pushes it out.
Yeah, and they kind of have this optional SDK, so you don't need to even install anything if you don't want to into your app. Essentially, if you would like to, for any project, whether it's Java, Objective-C, Swift, Xamarin, Cordova, you can install the Hockey App SDK, And you can do some things like forced updates, which is important for your testers. Let's say you change your entire backend and you know your app's not going to work anymore. Or even in the App Store, you can say, hey, listen, you need an update, show it to me, and it'll automatically bring it to the latest build, which is pretty cool.
Yep. So you can see there an idea of what the update prompt looks like to get you to, you know, new updates available, and now as a user, you could choose to opt in and grab that. I won't go through all the details in this slide, but basically there's a bit of app loading that, side loading. So you have the app you take for Hockey App, and then it will side load new versions of your application into it. These may look like a few steps, but I think a good question that we hear a bit is, why would I go through this when I could push my app out through the App Store? And I think you've got your own app you're trying to do that with, right?
So over the last 5 years, I've published 70-some apps to all the different app stores. And to me, what's important, again, is I get my developer build. So when you send your app to Hockey App, you get a web page and there's a mobile app companion. There you'll get a notification that says, hey, a new app update's available to you. So you can download it, then you have to sideload it. And to be honest, it's not that hard. Android, you say install. On iOS, you just have to make sure you have your certs correct. And on Windows, it's gotten a lot easier on Windows 10. And the reason here that's so important is that if you want to go to the App Store, well, one, your app has to be on the App Store. If you're doing enterprise deployment, you're not going to ship it out to Google Play. Now, Google Play and iOS, they both have their own little beta test channels. And people say, I'll just use that. Well, what if you never wanted to go out into the wild? You want to have as many channels as you want. So this really keeps everything in-house, but it also gives you a way of gathering feedback, getting crash reports, without a way for your users to write reviews. And I think that's really important. If your app is in beta, even though you may have a production app, you want to be able to have your group of testers that you add that you know isn't going to impact your app store. And additionally, when you publish to Google Play or you publish to Test Flight, which is Apple services, you have to wait for Apple to approve stuff. I just put one up there because it's my final step before I publish. I still like to do it. Is I don't have to wait a day for them to say, yeah, it's okay for you to beta test your own application. Google takes 2 hours to process your application, then I have to go download. Hockey App, you click download install immediately. And that's really cool. And what I like to pair this with and what I really want to show off is the final integration, which is release management. My favorite part of DevOps, to be honest. I never thought I'd be saying that release management is my favorite part, but it totally is. And it's built all inside of VSTS. So let me show you this really quick with this application in my last 5 minutes. So if I was to come into this application, and I have 1,000 tabs here, but I'm going to go into my Android definition, I'm going to hit edit. And what I could do at this point, if I wanted to, is I could add some more steps, and I could add Hockey App. And how I could add Hockey App, as we can see, here's my Hockey App portal, and I've created an app. I have a Coffee Tip Alpha and a Coffee Tipper Beta for Android. And what I've done here is I've gone into the marketplace. See this little tiny, super hidden that no one can find, like App Store thing? And you're like, it's an App Store, what is that? It doesn't make any sense. Well, that's the extension marketplace for Visual Studio Team Services. And you can see here, there's all these different things, Slack integration, time management, code search, all these different cool things. You can build yourself and ship these up to the extension marketplace. And here's Hockey App. And you install these extensions. You can install them on-prem or into the cloud. I've already installed it, just like we've installed Cordova and all that other stuff. So here, if I was saying that this is my dev build, that like, listen, every single time I build it, ship it to me. For here, for instance, I could go into deploy. Where's it at? And there's Hockey App right here. We can also see I have Google Play, and I actually have Apple stuff inside of here too, these different build steps. I can say add Hockey App. And I could go ahead and close it. And when it's all done, I can say, hey, you know, over here, let me connect to my Hockey App application, and here's the binary that you want. When I click Manage, just like I added GitHub as a service, over here I've added Hockey App as a service, so alpha and beta channels. So how you would really set this all up is you would come into the Releases tab. So there's Builds and Releases. So I'm going to leave this here because we're not going to do that. And what I would say is, hey, I would like to create a new release definition. Inside of here, we're just going to go with an empty definition. And at this point, I say, hey, what build would you like to use? And I could have different release definitions, just like I have different build definitions for different apps. So inside of here, for instance, I could say, hey, I want to use that new Android one and do continuous deployment. So as soon as that build finishes, try to do something and do it all up in the cloud. So I'm going to say create. And we're going to have these things called agents or environments. An environment is like a build definition. So you have a build definition that can run multiple tasks. So we have a build definition with kind of environment, so your alpha, beta, distribution here, and then you're going to run some tasks. So here I'm going to run a task, And I'm going to say, hey, I would like to distribute that application to Hockey App. There it is. Add it in there. I'm going to go ahead and configure the Hockey App connection to say, hey, first go to alpha. So this is going to be my alpha dev alpha branch. And then I'm going to say, hey, I need to pick a binary file. So here I'm going to come into here, into my drop file. Remember those artifacts? Here they are again before release management. There we go. Let's set up another environment. I'm going to say create a new environment. And again, we're going to create another one. And this is going to be kind of my my alpha release. So I want to go to dev every single time. Give me a dev. But only when Jordan approves a build should I be able to send that off to alpha. So in here, I can say auto approve, but my favorite feature is say specify users. So I can say I would like Jordan, because he's part of my team, to have to approve this build after it's released to alpha. So we'll say beta. There we go. And the difference that you can see here is that there's approver. There's an approver process. And now what I can do is I can say add task. And we're going to add another Hockey App task that's inside of here. There we go. And now I can configure this one, but go to my actual beta. Again, I'm just going to go ahead and configure the actual drop that's here. Again, my APK file. Boom. I'm going to go ahead and save this and do it here. Now, this will kick off every single time after I've done CI. Or I can come in and say, hey, create a release. And inside of here, it's going to say, which one do you want to do? Well, that was my last successful build. So let's go ahead and do it. And it's going to create release one. And what we're going to see is it's going to sit here, and it's going to attempt to essentially go off and actually distribute this here. And it's going to actually try to send it off into Hockey App. And we'll see if it's going to build and deploy. Bop, bop, bop. It's triggered. So now it's queued up, essentially. Just like a build is queued up over there, we're actually doing this actual deployment. So we'll see it here. Blah, 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 just now. See if it'll refresh. I like how there's 1,000 ways to refresh this screen. But don't worry, since we have a minute left, I did this earlier, and here's release four. So here, for instance, we have a build. It succeeded about an hour ago. And we can see it's actually waiting. And it's waiting here because Jordan needs to approve it. And if I go back into my Hockey App dashboard, I can actually sit here, and I can see that there was an alpha release that was automatically pushed up right at 11:44. And it's not here yet now. So I'm going to switch over to Jordan's machine. And that same exact build, Jordan's logged in, so as soon as it shows up onto his screen, bup, 5, 4, 3, 2, there it is.
Hey, good timing.
We can see he has this little banner that says, hey, I want you to approve it. So go ahead and approve it, hopefully, when it's ready to go. And this could be approved to the beta channel, it could be approved to your general testers, or for instance, I could add a Google Play step into there as well. And what we're going to see, hopefully, is that Jordan has triggered this, and it's deploying out to Hockey App. We'll see. Maybe. How fast it'll go.
Things were flashing.
Things flash. Things are happening. We'll see how many deployments are actually happening on my actual machines. And it eventually will say, in progress. I'd like to come over to Jordan's machine and hit refresh. Do it.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, you could probably see. It's most likely queued right now, actually, to go up and actually, it's in a pre-deployment approval. It's going in, and it's attempting to queue up the machine that's there. And I can actually check my build queue to see what's going on, my hosted prem. And it's not going to, still trying to release.
Still trying, huh?
Yeah, it's releasing, actually, my other one, which is good. And it's going to deploy it up at some point.
Okay.
So. What's really nice here is that along the way, and of course, the hardest part of DevOps doing this all live is that we actually did it all live. So we're actually waiting on machines to do stuff, which is probably the hardest part to actually go through. So we're going to wait and go through.
I've actually got the screen right now.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, cool. So we're kind of out of time, but there's a few more other little things that you can talk about that I can toggle back here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that you can do.
Oh, all I can say was... So we won't go through this demo now, but there was one more thing for the web developers in the crowd. The Cordova space gets to take advantage of a special situation in the app stores that lets you push out updates to your app's content like HTML, CSS, and JavaScript without having to go through the app stores. And so we have a service called CodePush that you can take a look at. The Apple license agreement is one that specifically says that this is allowed. You can actually push out changes to your app as long as you don't modify the core behavior of the application. And that's unique for HTML, JavaScript, CSS, like web technology, versus binaries cannot be updated without going through the App Store. So it can be another good tool in the tool belt to take a look at.
Yeah, so kind of think of it like as you're building it, right? We're deploying either to a hockey app or a point to Google Play or to the App Store, all from just me committing code. And with Cordova applications specifically, you can go and you can kind of toggle and update the actual application just a little bit. So we thought we had an extra 15 minutes, but we don't, so that's good. And there's actually just a step to do that. All these services are available. Visual Studio Team Services, there's a free tier. You can host unlimited private repos completely for free. You have about 300 minutes of actually cloud build time, which is really nice. CodePush is a free service. Xamarin is free. All the code for my demo is here on the Coffee Tipper application. And I'll tweet out, if you follow me, the slides later. We'll post them up so you get that code push stuff that's in there as well. But the nice thing here is even Hockey App's free. So everything that we're showing you here, at least to get started with a few applications to start building your applications, is completely free that you can do today. And within an hour and a half, I'll let you guys get off to lunch. We've been able to automate our build with every commit, committing, building tests, iOS, Android, Cordova, pushing it to Hockey App, and doing some release management. So with all of that, we want to thank everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
And hope to see you in the next session here at Dev Intersection.
Thanks a bunch.
And we'll stick around if you have any questions at all. But yeah, just let us know.